Hello, and Advent greetings from everyone at St. Augustine's College of Theology. My name is Thomas Sharp, and I am the tutor in Pastoral Theology. In this first of our Advent podcasts for 2025, I'm going to explore what it means to rejoice in the prophet Zephaniah, what it means to rejoice in a world when we don't really feel we've got all that much to rejoice about. Happy Christmas stuff. The prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before you, says the Lord. Capitalism was meant to make life into one big party. We were meant to have everything we'd ever wanted, meant to have time to enjoy everything we'd ever wanted, time and safety to enjoy the families we'd built, in a land of plenty, in a land of peace, in a land of abundance. And instead, well, we got the world we got. The world doesn't feel like one big party. We don't all have everything we'd ever wanted, don't have time to enjoy it if we did. We feel unsafe, under threat, and quite frankly, the world is freaking out. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. If there's ever a prophetic word to bring us up sharp against the promise of joy and happiness and the reality of the world, a prophecy of a party of singing and rejoicing in Jerusalem of all places is going to do it. The prophet Zephaniah paints a picture of Jerusalem which is not a capitalist dream. A wealthy city, a powerful city. Ah, soiled, defiled, oppressing city. The officials within it are roaring lions, its judges are ravening wolves, devouring, consuming, eating up God's people as if they were bread. Its prophets are reckless, faithless persons. Its priests have profaned what was sacred and done violence to the law. God looks upon the city in judgment, and the prophet speaks of its impending destruction, if only to show the people the error of their ways. But they were the more eager to make all their deeds corrupt. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, of clouds and thick darkness. At All Souls, only a few weeks ago, we heard these words as the Requiem Mass screamed them at us. Dies illa, dies irae, calamitatis et miseriae. That day, the day of anger, of calamity and misery. Zephaniah is, for the majority of its three chapters, a thoroughly depressing book. God warns, the people ignore, God foretells destruction. We live in a world which hears the warnings of the destruction that is coming to us by the folly of our own hands. We hear and yet we do not act to save ourselves. We know the climate is changing. We know our economic systems oppress and create instability around the world. We know our empires, our jostling for power, do nothing good but rob the very necessities of life from those who cry out. And yet we struggle and fight. We know our injustice is a choice. We know there is enough really for everyone. We know that the ways we live will not bring us peace or anyone else. We know they will not bring us joy. And yet we decide, we actively choose, against our own interests, to carry on. Like Jerusalem, faithless, stubborn Jerusalem, as the clouds of war gather to sweep down upon it, we hear the warnings, but we carry on regardless. And then, rejoice, exult, rejoice and exult with all your heart. How ridiculous. What is there to rejoice about? The hatred, the fear, the debt, and the violence? Rejoice. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. The God not just of your own nation, but the God of all that is, even the God who reigns over all the things you fear so much, even this God is standing among you. You shall fear disaster no more. Life without fear. Now that's hard for us to imagine. Life without fear. Without fear of missing out, fear of being left behind. Life without fear of not having enough, of not being enough. Without fear of not loving or being loved enough. If I'm honest, I cannot really imagine what life without fear would really look like, really feel like. And maybe that's something about me, or it says something about our world. But I do know that a life without fear starts with God in our midst. Do not fear, Zephaniah says. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. A warrior fights for us, a warrior whose victory is won. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, though he himself for cold doth shake. For in this weak, unarmored wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. A warrior fights for us, a warrior whose victory is won over all the forces that make us afraid. His camp is builded in a stall, his bulwark but a broken wall, the crib his trench, haystacks his stakes, of shepherds he his army makes. The missiles launch and the bombers fly, the strongmen give the order and the jackboots march, money flows and the poor cry out. Fear seems to cover this world like a cloak. And into all this, the warrior child comes. The warrior child comes, and not with stronger arms and greater violence, not with angrier words and violent speech, but with hands and feet the warrior child comes to live among us, with blood and water, to look down upon us from an earthly throne of wood and nails. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. The kingdom of God is a strange reality to look for. but it is an even stranger reality to live. Now and not yet, we live the kingdom of God, even as the kingdom of the prince of this world burns around us. I will remove disaster from you. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Amen. Come, Lord, and that right soon. The promise of God's kingdom of justice and mercy and peace is not held just in our faces, just out of reach. The promise of God's kingdom is given to us now, in God with us, God abiding with us, God living in and among us, poured out in blood and water, in the font and in our heart, in bread and on our lips. The promise of God's kingdom is given to us now in one another, in the church, in the body gathered of many members broken and tossed about in this world. We are the kingdom of God. We are the light that is coming into this world. For it has already come into this world, in God with us, the Word made flesh. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, sing aloud and shout. And yet, the world is still burning. I don't really want to sing and shout when I turn on the news. Well, maybe I want to shout. The world is still burning, and as many prayers as I say, as many times I gather with my friends and family in the gospel and share the peace, as many times as I do my best with others to relieve the burden on those of us who are struggling most in this world, it feels like the world is still burning, and I can't stop it, can't fix it. So where is my hope? Zephaniah's call to God's people to rejoice is now and not yet. We know the joy of the kingdom of God. We see it breaking through into our lives and into the life of the church, even into the life of the wider world by God's grace. We know it in the promise into which we were baptized. And so, when we look at the world, we realize two things. First, it is not our job to fix the world. And if the world is not fixed, it is not our personal failure. What we do for others, we do for love, because it is the right thing to do, not because the only metric of success is the world being totally right. Remember, you are not God, and that's okay. God will come, and our small acts of kingdom building will be caught up into God's great restoration of humanity and all creation. It's not your job to fix everything before that day. Second, the darkness is with us, but the light is in us. We rejoice, not because it is easy, but because it is true. At the graveside, we sing alleluias, not because we are not sad, but because we know the promise of Christ's resurrection. At the grave of the world that is preparing to be born again, we shed our tears, but we sing our alleluias loudly, proudly, defiantly. We rejoice not because we have done a good work, because we have built something good ourselves. We rejoice because God has made a world and declared it good, and because God is restoring, repairing, healing, recreating it around us even now. And because the day when God's promise of life and joy and justice and peace is coming, and it is coming soon, this is our joy. We sing in the face of evil. We rejoice in the face of death, to the outside world, we Christians are totally crazy. In famine, in debt, we share. In oppression and hatred, we love. In death and destruction, we live. This is why we rejoice. It is our standard, our sign. Our rejoicing is the music that heralds the coming of God's kingdom. Can you hear it? Can you feel it yet? Our rejoicing is our witness against a world that forgets love whenever power or money seems like a better option. Against a church that also forgets love when power or money seems like a better option. Our rejoicing is our inheritance from the one who loves from the crib, from the cross, and from the garden. Our warrior, our champion, our God with us has fought the fight, the battle won. Rejoice, rejoice, for the kingdom of God is being born in you. My soul with Christ, join thou in fight. Stick to his tents, the place of might. Within his crib is surest ward. This little babe will be thy guard. If thou wilt foil thy foes with joy, then flit not from this heavenly boy.